Hello everybody, welcome back. This is the third video for session three of the Exploring Theology course. In the first two videos, we've been reading some scripture, we've been praying together, we've been looking at our theological sources, we've been focusing especially on reason and different understandings of what we mean by reason and how those have changed over the years, and also how reason relates to revelation. And now in this third session, we're going to be looking at third video for this third session, we're going to be looking at the scriptures specifically. If you think back to those first two sessions of the course, we were looking at the importance of story and considering when we were thinking about both the identity of God and our identity. And we were talking about how those identities are interwoven and connected to one another, and how those threads weave their way through the scriptures, and how are we going to speak of ourselves, and how do we speak of God? This was all leading us up to this third session of saying why exploring why the scriptures are important. So this is what we're going to do. In this third session, we're going to bring everything up to this point and then just focus on the scriptures themselves. When I'm saying the scriptures, what I mean is the Bible, what we have traditionally called the Old Testament and New Testament. Sometimes today we refer to it as the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, recognizing that we share the Old Testament with our Jewish sisters and brothers, for whom this is very much scripture, their scriptures. They were the scriptures of the early church. There was no New Testament at the beginning. There were no such writings for the early church. It was their Bible, Jesus's Bible, the scriptures that he would have been familiar with, and as would have been all his other disciples, were what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures. So when we're talking about Holy Scripture, we're talking about all of those, including the letters and the Gospels and so on and so forth. But we're going to just have a little chat first, an opportunity to reflect. So get your notebooks ready. So I'm going to ask some questions. We're going to sit and work our way through those together. And so this video will take about an hour. I give opportunities, for reflection and so on. But as usual, if those opportunities aren't long enough, just pause the video and then resume when you're ready. So I'm just going to get the slides up and we'll get going. So there are all sorts of ways that we can approach Holy Scripture, that we can approach the Bible. And so we're going to explore those together. As I said, have your notebooks ready, just scribble down your answers, and so that when we meet together, we'll be able to share our different understandings and how we've responded to these questions. So I'm going to put the first question up on the screen now. So here goes. So starting off, nice and straightforward, do you read the Bible? I think it's important to be honest when it comes to answering this question. Don't just, as it were, reduce this question to a simple yes or no. It could be that you don't at all, in which case, fine, then you don't read the Bible. But if you do read the Bible, then explore a little bit in what ways. And so on. I'm going to follow up with some more guided questions for this in a moment, but to begin with, just see where this question goes. And do you read the Bible? Let's take sort of 3-4 minutes on that, and then we'll turn to the next sort of question in the sequence. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's see where you got with that. And to help, or to go in different directions, depending on how you've responded to that, if you read the Bible, how, when, and where do you do this? Yeah. So if you read the Bible, how, when, and where do you do this? All sorts of different ways that we can read the Bible. Okay. Take a few moments with those sort of more granular questions and jot down your answers and yeah. Again, maybe 3, 4 minutes, something like that. Right, I'm going to introduce the next question now. So this is like one of the big ones. Why do you read the Bible? Take some time to think through that. Think about that. I give you about 5 minutes for this one. If you want to take longer, then just pause the video when the 5 minutes are up. But yeah, let's take 5 minutes. I'll continue here and come back in about 5 minutes. Okay, with that question in mind, we're going to come to the next one, which is as follows. Are there parts of the Bible you prefer to others? I am certain that there are going to be parts of the Bible that you prefer to others. So which are the parts that you really, really like? And which are the parts that you kind of go like, not so sure? Yeah, take a few moments with that. Actually, I realized in asking you that question, I've put the next question together. So these are two questions together. So are there parts of the Bible you prefer to others? Which aspects of the Bible do you find difficult? They're kind of related in an inverse kind of way. So explore those two questions together. I'll give you a bit of time to do that, and then we'll carry on. If you're struggling with these two questions, it might be that in one column you kind of put, these are the bits of the Bible that I like. It could be the stories from the New Testament about Jesus. It could be or some of the stories from the Old Testament type of thing. And then in a second column, the things that you find difficult, let me just get rid of that. It might be things that you find difficult about the Bible. It could be any number of things, both to do with the Old Testament and the New Testament and the scriptures as a whole. So just have a sort of a list of the things that you find difficult. So that's one way of approaching these two questions. Someone at the door. So whilst you're doing those, I'm just going to go and answer those. Back in a mo. Okay, with those questions in mind, let's take the next step. We've been talking, as I say, about God's identity in terms of one overarching story as a way of revealing who God is. And similarly, we've been talking about our own identity. And then we were talking about how these weave together, so on and so forth. So we've been using stories, as I say, our individual stories. We use the film analogy. And one of the ways of approaching the scriptures is to think of them as telling an overarching story that they tell, one overarching story. Now, let's roll with this thought, and let's and note that as we're doing this kind of thing, we're using our you know, our critical faculties. We're using our ability to think in this kind of way, so it's all very much tied up together, isn't it? So if we were to think about the story that the Bible tells, let's look at this next question. What do you think the plot is? In some ways, we did a similar kind of exercise earlier in the course, but let's revisit it. And think about, that's when we were thinking about what the, you know, if you were to tell the story of God, how would you tell the story? Now, you could have gone in any numbers of ways that way. This time we're focusing the question in a little bit more tightly in terms of saying, okay, from the scriptures, what do you think the plot is? If we have to think of it as an overarching story, if there's a narrative, a way of telling the story that coheres from beginning to end, and there are various events along the way that are the core parts of what we would call the plot, what do you think the plot is? So what do you think the plot is of the Bible as a story? I'll give you, you know, a reasonable chunk of time to do this, because there are you know, it's not totally straightforward. So have a go. Scribble away in your notebooks. As always, I'm here. Don't forget, there are these playlists to listen to. They're at the bottom of the web page for each of the sections. You can listen to those on YouTube, have them playing in the background, or on Spotify if you're on Spotify. And that will give you some music to listen to. Hopefully that would aid reflection. However you want to approach this. So anyway, the question in hand is, what do you think the plot of the Bible is, the story? If you think of the Bible as telling an overarching story, what do you think that plot would be, the key events that make up that story? Okay, see you in a moment. I should add that if you've resisted the temptation to go back in your notebook and look at what you wrote earlier, well done. Don't worry if you did. But yeah, just see what comes to mind now and how you might shape what events you think would make the key moments of this overarching story. Okay. It'd be interesting to talk about how we understand the plot. And I want you just to take a moment to look at what you've written and the events of the plot and things like that. And just have a think. How much of the plot takes place in the Old Testament? And by that, if you're not sure as to where it comes in the plot, is in terms of how the story develops, are most of the events towards the beginning? Are most of the events before Jesus? So how much of the plot for you, in the way that you are thinking of this overarching story, how much of the plot takes place in the Old Testament? I.e., how much of the plot is before Jesus? Just have a look through your list or the way however you've summarized these events or drawn these events. How many of them take place before Jesus? How many of them take place in the Old Testament? Just have a look through, and then we'll turn to the next bit. And the flip side of this question is how much of the plot takes place in the New Testament? And again, be as specific as you can, even if you're not sure whereabouts in the New Testament it is. That's not the issue. We're talking about the story, not whichever book of the Bible the story event happens. Is your focal point in terms of the plot, the various events that you think make up the plot that the overarching story that the Bible is telling, these plot events, are they when Jesus is it when he once he's been born and he's walking around and he's up in Galilee and then he's down in Jerusalem and are you thinking about the betrayal? Are you thinking about his crucifixion? Are you thinking about his resurrection? Are they those are you thinking about events in the plot up to his death, including his death, or are you thinking mainly about events that happen after his death, his resurrection, his ascension? Are you thinking about things like the sending of the Spirit and so on and the church as it gets going? Are you thinking about those, or are you thinking even further down the line, things that are hinted at in the letters and in the later books of the New Testament, anticipations of how the story then comes to an end, as it were? Are those parts of the story from the New Testament, the bits that involve Jesus, are they whilst he's alive, when he's being crucified? Are they after he is raised from the dead? Whereabouts in that are those events for you, in terms of the events of the overarching narrative that we take from this part of the story, the New Testament? Is this where most of your focus has been, I guess, is the kind of question I'm asking here. Is this whereabouts? Is it more this side of Jesus? Is it the Jesus side of the story where mainly your focus has been? And within the Jesus side of the story, is which part has had the focus when he was teaching and so on? What I was just saying a moment ago, if I repeat myself again, you've already said that, Will, you don't need to say it again. Explore that, just a couple more minutes, 2, 3, 4 minutes, something like that. And then we'll take it from there. Okay, I'm going to turn to the final question in this little sequence. And so the next part is to say how much of the plot. And remember, we're thinking about the overarching narrative, the overarching story that the Bible tells. This way of interpreting the Bible, this over as it having an overarching story, an overarching narrative. How much of the plot takes place now? Spend a few minutes thinking about that, and then we'll turn to the next stage. Okay, it's an interesting question, isn't it? And I look forward to being able to talk about that with you when we meet. So I'm now going to pause these slides and I'm just going to introduce the next phase of this third video. So we've been spending some time thinking about different ways that, how do we read the Bible? What ways do we read the Bible? Why do we read the Bible? And if we were to take the Bible as a story, what would be some of the plot elements? Are they more emphasized towards the beginning or the middle or the Jesus part of the story? Or are they, what are the events of the story now type of thing? Okay, so I want to introduce now one of the ways that we can think about this, which is often talked about when thinking about things to do with theology, especially these days where we're taking a narrative kind of way of thinking these things through. And so, yeah, so this is the idea of thinking of the story of the Bible as a five-act play. So here goes. First of all, with this idea of the five-act play, you know how a play can be divided up into acts, yes? So the first act is creation. The events that we read about at the beginning in the book of Genesis. Then the second act is Israel. The story that then begins with the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, leading to the people of Israel. I should point out that, like all good stories, there's a complication. And that happens in the story of creation, and the way the story is told about Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. But broad brush, the beginning to the first chapter, Act 1, creation, Act 2, the story of Israel, Act 3, Jesus, all the things that we read about in the New Testament. Act 4 is the church, which we also read about in the New Testament. We have Paul's letters to the early church. We have the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and all the story of what the church did after the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension and the sending of the Spirit. And then we have Act 5, the end. Now, Act 5, the end, how the story comes to its end, is, in a sense, something that lies beyond Scripture. It's hinted at in various ways, various things talked about it. But the end is anticipating, in one way of reading the story, is in anticipating the what has happened with Jesus, his resurrection is going to happen to all of creation. And so the end is the resurrection of all space and time. And so there is this movement from creation, Israel, Jesus, church, and then to the end. But the end is something that is, as it were, beyond us. So one of the questions to ask when you think about it being a five-act play, thinking of the overarching story that the scriptures tell as being like a five-act play with these different acts of creation, Israel, Jesus, church, and the end. One of the questions is to ask, who's the key character? Who's the key character this? Because in any story, you've got plot events, but you've got characters, haven't you, who feature in the story. And who's the key character is always an important question. So the question then comes, who for you is the key character of the overarching story that the Bible tells? So let me just go back to that five-act play way of dividing it up. Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, Act 4. Act 5, creation, Israel, Jesus, church, the end. Who's the key character in this overarching story? Take a moment to have a think and jot down your answer, and then we'll continue to explore. you want to take a little bit more time with this question, then by all means do and pause the video at this point. But I'm just going to move on just to explore a couple of possibilities as to how you might have answered that question. So one of the ways you might have said is that the answer is God. God is the key character in this story. And if that were the case, then the question then might be said to be, well, what's the relationship between God and each of these stages of the story? What's the relationship between God and creation, God and Israel, God and Jesus, God and church, God and the end? They're all very big theological questions. It's very much what theology is about, is exploring these questions. And notice how that between Act 4 and 5, the church and the end, well, that's our location, isn't it? So if we're talking about that and we're trying to explore what we would say about God being the key character now between the church and the end, which is our moment, well, that very much takes us back to what we were talking about in the previous session when we were saying, okay, so where is God? Where do you see God in your life? Where do you see God? Where do we see God in our lives? And all these events of our lives, where is God in all of them? If we fall between, as it were, we're in that Act 4, anticipating Act 5, we're in that period of the church. So we're going to come back to that. And also, if you are to talk about God being the key character all the way through this, of creation, Israel, Jesus, church, and the end, are you going to use the same name for God all the way through? You might just say God, 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 but would you find yourself using a different word for God at different stages, depending on where in that story you're focusing? Take a couple of minutes just to think about the language that you might use to speak of God at different points in the story there. Okay, I want to switch there and now and think about what you might have, the primary character, the protagonist, the key character of the story. You might then have thought that, you know, you might think that Jesus, if the key character, the key character is Jesus. Now, the question then becomes, okay, if the key character is Jesus, if he's the central character, so there you can see Act 3, Jesus, and it's kind of like, great, he's the key character, he's in the middle of the play. But then the question becomes, if he's the key character, where is Jesus in Acts 1, 2, 4, and 5? So where is Jesus in creation? If Jesus is the key character of the overarching story that the Bible tells, then where is Jesus in Act 1, in creation? Where is Jesus in Act 2, the story of Israel? Where is Jesus in Act 4, the story of the church? Which is another way of talking about, where is Jesus now? If he's the key character, where is he and what is he doing now? And then Act 5, if Jesus is the key character, what happened? How is Jesus related to the end? The resurrection? Well, I could say the end, one can understand the end in different ways. That's one of the things that we're going to obviously tease out as we carry on a little bit. And I'm sure you'll be thinking about beyond this course. But the end, if one's thinking about the end as being the resurrection of all creation, what has happened to Jesus is happening to all of creation. Where is Jesus and what is Jesus's role in relationship to the end? The consummation of all things. So, yes, have a think. Take a moment to mull this one over. It's a really big question. So, where do we see him? This is another way of thinking about it. Where do we see Jesus in these other acts? In Act 3, it's straightforward. We see Jesus being born, living, teaching, healing, being put to death, tortured and put to death by the religious authorities and the political powers of the day, and then being laid in a tomb, having been crucified, he's laid in the tomb, and then the third day he rises from the dead. This is how the story goes. And then he rises from the dead, he ascends to heaven, but then, what then, as we move beyond, say we've got this, and how, and where, and what role, and how did we see him in the story of creation, Israel, church, and the end? So if you've thought that Jesus is the key character, if that's what you've written down, perfectly legitimate answer, don't get me wrong. But the question then is, well, where is he in the rest of the story? Take a few moments to mull and jot some ideas down, which we can discuss when we meet. And then I'm going to move on to the final part of this video in terms of the things that we're thinking through. And yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm going to move us on in a moment to the next part. But one of the ways of approaching this, and one of the, then the questions becomes that if Jesus is the key character, then you've got a large part of the Bible where Jesus is not explicitly named. Anticipated, very possibly, depending on the language and the way that you're thinking about it. But if you were to take your Bible and just, you know, literally at the level. So here's my Bible, and literally, if you were to go from, so I'm starting at Genesis here, and then I'm getting to, I've got to turn to lots of pages before I get to, so if you can see, so the bit, so this chunk is the Old Testament, yeah, everything up to Jesus. This bit is Jesus. Well, we're talking about Jesus. Those are the gospel accounts. Okay, those are the gospel accounts. Oh, I'm going to lose the book that's on my lap. I should have done this on the big camera. Anyway, and then this bit is the bit, the letters to the church and the Acts of the Apostles and so on and so forth. So you've got, at a very simple level, just like you've got a whole chunk of the Bible here where Jesus is not the obvious key character. So, how do we approach this? How do we make sense of this? We could talk about it as in it's all building up to Jesus, and then in response to Jesus. Absolutely, that's one way of talking about it, and a way that is complementary to that. That works alongside it is what I'm going to look at now, which is in the final section of this video. So I'm going to pause this and just have a chat with you straight to camera, and then we'll continue. So yeah, the way that goes alongside this way of thinking about it, which I hope will be something that we'll be able to tease out a little bit more as we go along. We don't have the time to go into too much depth about this now, but it's to talk about the patterns that we see in scripture, things that happen over and over again and resonate. This reminds me of this type of thing. So patterns, design patterns, as it were, in the scriptures. So I'm just going to talk about that a little bit. So let me get the slides up again. Okay, so patterns, yes. And if you thought you were going to get through this video without our good friend Robert Jensen making an appearance, you would be wrong. There we go. There's old gents again. Here we go. So with this idea of patterns, I just want to just bring you back to this phrase that we started right back in the first session. God is whoever raised Jesus from the dead, having before raised Israel from Egypt. And you've got two themes here, two core themes. And it's the theme of raising, isn't it? So it's resurrection. You've got God is whoever raised Jesus. It's resurrection. From the dead, having before raised Israel from Egypt. Talking about the raising, we talked about this previously, talking about the raising of Israel as resurrection. So God is whoever raised Jesus from the dead, having before raised Israel from Egypt. So that's a theme of resurrection. And equally, remember we talked about this, that the normal way we talk about, the more frequent way that we talk about the raising of Israel from Egypt is to speak of the Exodus. And so another pattern that then comes is to speak of the Exodus when we're talking about Jesus' resurrection, that this is the new Exodus. So patterns that repeat and echo within each other. Going to look at some other patterns. My question, rather, is what other patterns are there in Scripture? Let's take 5 minutes just to think about what other patterns are there in Scripture. Things that you think of that go like, yeah, well, that happens over and over and over. And that reminds me of this. And that's kind of like that and so on. Patterns, things that repeat in the scriptures, events that echo with one another. Just scribble down a list. It doesn't have to be a huge lengthy list. Just sort of like the core ones that come to mind, and we'll see where we go from there. Okay. Okay, this is something that we can talk about in more detail when we meet, but I want to bring your attention back to the scripture passage that we began our session at this session three in the first video, which was the passage from Mark. So then he began, if you recall, it went, then he began to teach them, he being Jesus, then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Now, in this, we've got this pattern, a pattern here. We've talked about resurrection a moment ago, but along with resurrection, if you're going to be raised from the dead, there has to be the dead bit, doesn't there? And the dead bit is not just through dying through old age or an accident or whatever it may be. Here, there is an act of killing. That the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. This is a pattern in Scripture, and it's the pattern that we would refer to as death and resurrection. And so this pattern of dying and rising, of being killed and rising, of death and resurrection, this pattern is something that we see, and one could think about the exodus of Israel from death under Pharaoh, and that the death of Passover, then leading to the exodus, to the resurrection, to the raising of Israel from Egypt, being a pattern which echoes in anticipation, as it were, the event of Jesus's death and resurrection. And that these patterns, if you recall, one of the things I was talking about one of the reasons why we read the scriptures is so that we understand not only God's identity and understanding that this is one of the ways that God reveals God's identity to us through the story that the scriptures tell, but also that they give us ways of understanding these patterns, which not only do we see in scripture and at various points in scripture, but they also continue to occur in our lives, that there are times of death and resurrection. Now, obviously, the resurrection for all of us, our deaths, we're watching this, we haven't died, our deaths lie ahead of us, as do our resurrection. But in anticipation of that, we will go through various points in our lives where things will fall apart. It will be disastrous. There will be failure. There will be disaster. And then, sometimes it takes days, but sometimes it can take years. But then there is resurrection. There is new life. There is an entry into a new phase of life, which would seem totally have been totally impossible before. So it's a pattern that we learn, then we take from the scriptures, and then we're able to apply to our lives. And they start to become lenses, these patterns, through which we start to understand who we are. So this is one of the ways that we can start to talk about that the scriptures are talking to us about who God is, but also that we start to understand our relationship with God, who we are in response to Him, the story that we're in, the part of, but also these design patterns, as it were, that we see in scripture. We start to recognize that it's not just in the sort of the writings of the scripture, but the overarching story that the scripture tells, which encompasses our lives. We start to see those patterns from reading these scriptures. We start to see those patterns and start to understand our own lives through these patterns, these design patterns, as it were. There's other language we can use to talk about these patterns, but this is one which hopefully is helpful. So this is one of the key ones of the scripture, is death and resurrection, and one of the key patterns. So yes, I was just saying a moment ago that just that, going back to this five-act play thing, that in understanding our location, understanding who we are, our time, our moment, and as a consequence, our identity, understanding that we live in Act 4, whether if we apply this narrative to and we enter into it, whether we are a part of the church or not, this is the way this story is told. This is the part of the story that we live in. We're living in anticipation of the end. We're living in between the moment of the Jesus focal Act 3 part and the end part. Those are the two parts that we live in between. This is the church part. And this then brings us, obviously, so if this is the part that we live in, then it pays attention, it behoves us to actually enter into this a little bit more and think about it a little bit more theologically as to why is the church important? And that is going to be our question for next time. So that's where we draw this sort of content, as it were, part of this session to a close. And I'm just now going to turn to a summary of what we've done, and then we can wrap this up by prayer, which is the most fitting way to do that. And I'll remind you about the extra materials and so on and so forth. So there we go. Five-act play, design patterns, two key ideas for thinking about the scriptures. And how we locate both ourselves and our identity and work out our identity in the light of those and also God's. So there we go. Let's turn to the summary. I think that's next session. That's it. Yeah, good. I'm on track. Why is the church important? Tremendous. Good. So, summary. Sip of water. First off, we looked at some more definitions of theology, didn't we? And then having done that, we read and prayed through a passage from Mark chapter 8. And we just looked at that again and we saw one of the key design pattern themes and this pivotal moment in anticipation of Jesus' execution and resurrection. We then looked again at sources and we were thinking about scripture, tradition, and then we looked in particular at reason. I don't know why that's not bolded out. It should be bolded. But anyway, we then looked at reason. And we're talking about different understandings of reason. And we were mapping that onto and in juxtaposition. And what's the relationship with revelation? Then we were thinking about the Enlightenment. And then we're thinking about post-modernity. And then we looked at the Bible and different ways of looking at the Bible. We were talking about how we read the scriptures, why we read them. We were exploring those things. You were jotting things down. We're going to come together. We're going to talk about all of this when we meet. And then we talked about the scriptures as being a five-act play. And I think this is going to overlap. So let me just pull myself over to there. There we go. And then after having done the five-act play bit, having worked those out of being creation, Israel, Jesus, the church, and the end. Then I talked a little bit about the design patterns and that both of those ways of understanding the scriptures and approaching the scriptures. And just to loop back, notice what we were doing there when we were thinking and we were just bringing, as it were, our critical faculties to bear on how we might think about the scriptures. It's not that we were going like, oh, there are the scriptures. Ooh, just sit back and... Mm. It was we were bringing our powers of thought and reason and our discursive abilities to approach those scriptures. So all of these different things are in play when we are learning to think and live theologically. We've been talking about tradition, we've been talking about scripture rather, we've been especially talking about reason in this session. Next time we're going to be looking at the church, and so there are going to be aspects we're going to be drawing out there that we're going to tie in with these theological sources, and all the way along we've been talking about experience as well. So all these things sort of just interrelate and thing, but scripture is paramount within the Anglican tradition, and these are two of the key ways that we can think about scriptures. We're going to unpack these more as we go along. So there we go. Right. Time to pray. Okay, so let me move on to the next slide. And as before, when we pray together, then the idea is that we do this together. Yeah, so by all means, wherever you are at this moment, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. We prayed it at the beginning. We're going to pray it again now. And then we'll wrap it up. I always forget it at this point and then do my little Columbo bit at the end, so I've remembered at this point. There are, as always for these sessions, optional and some recommended and optional resources on the PDF, which you can download from the same web page where you're watching this. And so have a look at those. Those will give you some stuff just to how we approach the scriptures, just draw out some more of the kind of things that we've been thinking about in this. So, yeah. If you have time, you know, don't worry if you don't. Right. Okay. Time to pray. I've really enjoyed doing this, by the way, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you again when we get this opportunity to be together. And yeah, tremendous. So here we go. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. There we go. And I think you might, I don't know whether the microphone's sensitive enough, but Bart is shaking his bells out there. He says, come on, that's enough. Wrap it up. Come and feed me. So there we go. Thank you very much, everybody. Well done. And look forward to seeing you soon, both for the session where we work through some of this material together and we discuss it in more detail. And then a day or so after we've done that, then the materials for the next session, Why is the Church Important? Why is the Church Important? Will be posted to the website. So there we go. See you soon, everybody. Bye now.